Today's daf in Masechet Gittin, brought to you from Yerushalayim Yir HaKodesh, is daf Lamed Tet. We're holding at the bottom of Lamed Chet Amud Beit at Toshba, one line up from the bottom. So yesterday we saw that we have this fantastic machlokas, according to which Rav holds that there is no way to use the words, I'm making my Evet Kodesh, other than for those words to mean, I'm giving him the Kedushas HaGuf of being a Ben Yisrael. And therefore it was Yotze L'Cheirus. Albeit he needs, at least the way Rav Yossi ended it, he needs a get shechrur as well. And this would be because, according to Rav, the language of saying that he's Kodesh is impossible to apply. And even if you would have beferish said that you want to give the value of the Evet to Berech HaBayit, it still wouldn't help you, according to Rashi's approach, because since there could be a Kedushas HaGuf on Yisrael, it would be like trying to give a behemoth Mima for its value to the Berech HaBayit. And if you do that, then the animal automatically becomes Kodesh B'Kedushas HaGuf to the Mizbeach. And here too, the Eved automatically becomes Kedushas HaGuf, not to the Mizbeach, but to being a Ben Yisrael, to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that would be the meaning of being Magdash and Eved, according to Rashi. According to Tosfos, the only problem is the way that it was phrased. And the reason that the way that it's phrased precludes understanding it as giving the domim to the Hegdash is because if Hegdash would really own the domim the way it owns an animal's domim, where it owns the body, you'd be right. You could use that lashon because that's the level of Kedusha that's given to an animal. But a Eved, we do not find that there's any actual ownership. There's only an ownership of finances, and the Eved himself doesn't become Kodesh in any way. A human doesn't become Kodesh, and therefore there won't be an Isser in using this Eved. So it's not similar to Kedusha. He could have said, I want to give the Domim. According to Rashi, he can't. He could have said it, but it's not what he said. So according to Tosfos, it's a semantical problem, and according to Rashi, it's an actual fundamental problem. So today the Gemara asks, right at the bottom of the daf, Toshma, HaMagdish Avdo Sevo Chesholitish El Adamav. Now this seems to be very much against what Rav said. We saw yesterday that there's actually a brayta, including Rabbi HaKodesh's approach, that it's not true, and that it is possible to give an Evet to Hegdash. And here it says again, Beferish, HaMagdish Avdo Osev Ochel, that Eved is allowed to work, use the money to eat, Shelo Yigdish El Adamav, because the only part that was Kodesh was the value of the Eved, which has nothing to do with prohibiting his work. If he works, the work isn't owned by Hegdash because they didn't own the goof. Fine. Answers the Gemara, I have no problem with that, says Rav. This is going Aliba to Rebbe Meir. Now, we've had the Shita in Rebbe Meir, again, Gavi, to be written down. Ein adam motzi devarav levatala. People don't speak gibberish, certainly not when they're dealing with Hegdash. And since what this guy is saying is gibberish, because there is no way to make this Evet Kodesh Ekedush Zaguf, so therefore, Rebbe Meir says, whenever someone speaks gibberish, you reinterpret his words to mean what would have been effective and what you understand he's really trying to do. So, according to Rebbe Meir, what he's really trying to do is to make the Evet Kodesh, and the closest that you can get to that, according to Rebbe Meir, is the same thing that if somebody says, this infant should be a mechayev me, the erechin of an infant. Well, there is no erechin to an infant. You have to be at least a month old, right? So if he says, I want to give the erechin of this infant to Hegdash, according to Rebbe Meir, he pays the domim of the infant. And the same thing is true over here. Even though he didn't say that, it doesn't matter. Because according to Rebbe Meir, anything that you say means what is effective. It's a tremendous chiddush. So in other words, you're bringing mechayev with a neder, something that you never said at all. Because that's how we understand your intent with these words. The same thing is true over here. Since, says Rav, there is no way to actually make your Evet Hegdash, so therefore, what you really did was you said Dami Alai. That's all. And that must mean that you wanted to be Dami Alai, according to Rashi. according to Tosfos, that would be possible to say, I'm giving just its value. Hachinami Mistava. Now, I want to prove to you that that's exactly the only way to understand is that it's going like Rabbi Meir. Because take a look at the Sefer, the Tani Sefer. V'chein hu she'igdish atzmo. A person says, I should be Kadesh. Okay, what's the din? So if he's Makdish himself, he still works and eats because he was only Makdish his domim. Now, what do you think that means? See, yeah, Rabbi Shlomo, Rabbi Meir, he Shapir. According to Rabbi Meir, this works out because domi could mean domi alai. A person could say my own domim is alai. This is another beautiful Rashi pshat advantage, because Tos is going to have to kvetch that this is talking about going all the way to domi alai. So here's what it means. If you're going to tell me it's going according to Rabbi Meir, that means we reinterpret when the man said, I am Hegdish, what he means is I owe my value to Hegdish. Fine. So that's fine. But if you're going to tell me it's going according to the Rabbanan, how could we reinterpret his words to mean domi alai? It's just an absurd statement that he made. I am Hegdish. No, you're not. Thank you. Go back to sleep. So if you want to say your Eved should be Hegdish, fine. You could say your Eved should be Hegdish according to Rabbanan. On some level, Siyamet Rabbanan. Eliyamet Rabbanan, rather. Ishlama Avdo, fine. If you want to say according to the Rabbanan, and it's because you want to claim that it's because actually the Rabbanan disagree with Rav, and they say that if something isn't Roy Lagufo, you can make it Hegdish for his domim to sell. That's what you're claiming, right? But you can't say that about yourself now, can you? You can't say that you gave yourself to Hegdish to sell because a Ben Chorin doesn't have any value. You're not Eime to be sold. So what do you mean? You're giving yourself to Hegdish to be sold. It's ridiculous. When you say the words domi alai, you're saying, if I were Roy to be sold, that value I want to give to Hegdish. But if you literally try to give yourself to Hegdish, it's absurd. So therefore, this cannot be going according to the Rabbana. So it's got to be going according to Rabbi Meir. And therefore, if we're going to reinterpret the statement, we're reinterpreting it to mean domi alai, and not that Hegdish is the bialim of the domim. You see the difference? So according to Rashi, it's beautiful. What are you asking on Rav from this? This is obviously Rabbi Meir. Because nobody in his right mind would say that if you say you should be Kadesh, that it means your value is owned by Hegdish. You don't have a value. That's the point. Must be that we interpret it as domi alai, which is perfect according to Rav, the way Rashi's understanding it. That domi alai, yeah, that's fine. Because you don't really give anything to Hegdish, and there are no gizbarim, and so on and so forth. So, yamret rabbanani bishlema avdo ledomi koi. So it cannot mean that, and therefore we are perfectly okay with this Gemara because it works out beautifully according to Rav as well, if it's going to leave it to Rabbi Meir. Now, the question of this halacha, what is the din of an Eved that the Odin made him Kodesh? Maybe it's a machlokas tanoim, actually, because over here it says, Hamagdish avdo ein mo'alimbo. And Reb Shimon ben Gamliel omer, mo'alin b'saro. Oh, looky, looky at this. So here it says, if you make an Eved Kodesh, there's no Me'ilah. And Reb Shimon ben Gamliel says, there is Me'ilah, but only by his hair, which we'll see why it's only by his hair. But anyway, apparently, it's certainly over here, a machlokas, of whether the Eved became Kodesh or not. So Reb Shimon can discuss Me'ilah, because he's really Kodesh, right? And the other Bandiyama, the Tanakama, holds that there's no Kedusha. So that seems to be the question about whether we go like Rav or not. No, come on. Vitisbara. Obviously, that can't be the Machlokas. Why have such a roundabout way of arguing about whether he's Kodesh as discussing whether there's Me'ilah? Isn't that a little bit ridiculous? I mean, if you're arguing about whether it's Kodesh, then argue about whether it's Kodesh. Vitisbara. I'm mailing boy, the in mailing boy. That's the way to make the machlokas. You should have had a machlokas. Kodesh or ain't no kodesh? It's a straight out question. Is it kodesh or is it not kodesh? I don't understand how it all of a sudden became a question of Me'ila. Kodesh or ain't no kodesh me boy. Therefore, the only way to understand this is that everybody agrees actually that you can be magdish the Eved. And what are they arguing about? So the Tanakhama holds Mar Sovar, an Eved has a din of Karka. So the same way there's no din of Me'ila from Karka, and that we learn out from Truma, we learn out also Chet Chet, and that you can't also, same way that you can't have Truma that's Mechubel Karka, you can't have Me'ila that's Mechubel Karka. Mar She'en Ken Rebbe Shimon holds that Mar Sovar, they're considered to be Metaltalim, and therefore you would be also be over on Me'ila. And the Gabi the Din, even though it's true in other Dinim, they're similar to Karka, but we understand that the question is whether they have a Din of Karka Lagabi Me'ila. No, says the Gemara, that couldn't be the Machlokas either. Because then why are they arguing about his hair? They should be arguing about utilizing the Eved directly. It isn't an issue of his hair. Oh, true. Okay, fine. So the way to understand it is, everybody could agree over here, an Eved is like Karka, there's no Me'ila, and there is Kedusha, and the question over here is Benogea hair that is in need of a haircut. So if you have Saro Ha'omed Li Gazez, so Mar Sovar Kegozes Dummies, Rabbi Shimon holds, that look, if you're going to a haircut, then even though this hair is still on your body, it has a din of being disconnected from your body. And so, Mamela, if you want to use this person's hair, you are going to be over on Me'ila, because it's as if it was already cut. The Rabbanan say, no, but I mean, right now, it's connected to the ground, so to speak, because it's connected to the Oda, to the Eved. So, Mar Sovar, Lafka goes his dummy. Oh, that's an interesting machlokas. Is that the same machlokas that we have in the Mishnah in Shavuos? Over there we have a machlokas like this. You remember the din of Meida B'miktzas, right? If somebody agrees that part of your taina against him is true, but some of it is not true, so then in certain circumstances you have to take a shvua d'oraisa of a Meida B'miktzas a taina. What happens if the miktzas a taina is property? So there's a halacha ein nishboin ala karkaot, right? No dinim of shuas would apply to karka. How about if the argument revolves around grapes on grapevines, right? So let's say the case is like this. It's not. Rabbi Meir Omer, yesh dvarim sheim kakarka, there are things that are like ground, because they're attached to the ground, but they're not legally kakarka. And you would have to make a shvua. And yet the Chachomim disagree. What would be the case? Ketzad? Eser gefanim tu'unot masarti lecha. So a guy claims, listen, I gave you, to be shomer, 10 beautiful vines covered with tons of grapes. I come back and I find that all the grapes are gone. Now what happened to my grapes? Well, says the guy, you never gave me 10, you only gave me 5. So Rabbi Meir says, in that case, since there are arguing about grapes, and they're not arguing about vines, so it's not Mechubel LaKarka. Whereas the Chachomim say, what do you mean? But it's connected to the ground. Anything connected to the ground is like the ground. And what's the Machlokas? Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Chanina explained over there, it's talking about that he said, I gave you fully ripened grapes. And I came back the next day and they were all gone. So that's what we're talking about. And what's the Machlokas? Anavima omdot li batzer, according to Rabbi Meir, are the same as if they were already harvested. And therefore, they're not mechubel karka. That's why Rabbi Meir says, they're deima karka, but they're not really karka. Whereas the Rabbanan Savri lav kibitzuro dummy. Now that seems to be the same question about hair that was about to get a haircut. These grapes were about to get a grape cut. So what's the difference between a grape cut and a haircut? Says the Gemara, well, there's a big difference between a grape cut and a haircut, for heaven's sakes. Afilu tema Rebbe Meir. You could say that Rebbe Meir would agree that there's no me'ila on the hair of an Eved, even if it's in need of a haircut. Because at kan lo kama Rebbe Meir ha'sam ilaba anavim. The reason that Rebbe Meir said that the grapes are considered to be disattached is because the longer you'll leave them on the vine, the worse off these grapes are going to be. They're going to start drying out, and they're going to be completely useless in no time at all. You must get them off of the vine. Masha Enkein, when it comes to hair, the longer you leave the hair on the head, the better it is. So much for the old make sure you shave them bald idea. Take a look at the Rebbe. Look at that nice head of hair. Take a look at Moshe Forman. Look at that nice head of hair. I mean, come on, man. There's plenty of hair that the longer it grows, the better it is. So why would he hold that just because the hair could be cut? So what? It's still considered to be mechuber because the hair is happier when it's attached. Exactly. So this is not necessarily the same machlokas. Now, we said before, remember, that according to Rav, if someone was mafkir avdei, that he's yotze lecheros. Now, when Reb Chiya bar Yosef came to Eretz Yisrael, he said over those words of Rav, but amafkir avdo yotze lecheros, and he said it to Reb Yochanan. And Reb Yochanan said, Rav said that? Omar Rav Hachi says, I don't understand. What do you mean Rav said that? Reb Yochanan said the same thing. What's he so amazed about? V'hula Omar Rachi. V'omar Ula Omar Reb Yochanan. Amafkir avdo yotze lecheros. Yeah, true. But remember the last words. V'tzorach getchech rur. Okay, so that may be the issue. But assuming that that's not the issue, Anki Karmelay, what Reb Yochanan meant to say was, oh my gosh, I am so happy. Rav said that too? You mean we both agree on this? Excellent, excellent. Maybe that's what he meant. Omar Rav Kavati. Or you could say that they didn't tell Reb Yochanan the entire statement. They just said that Rav said, Amavkar Avdu Yotze Lecheros. But the part that was at the very end, which Reb Yossi finished, right? And he said, Vitzorich Getchikru, that they didn't tell Reb Yochanan. So Reb Yochanan was shocked. Omale, he said, didn't Rav add that he's still going to need a Getchikru? So of course it's true that Yotze Lecheros, but how could he leave out that very important addendum? That he absolutely does require a Getchirut. And in this Ikedi Amre, this is Reb Yochanan Lashitasa. The Omer Ulam Reb Yochanan, Hamafkir Avdo Yotze Lecheros, but Tzorich Getchikru. Let's think about that. Gufa. Omra ula om Reb Yochanan, hamavkir avdo yatza lechirut, vitzarich biat shichrur. Question is from a fascinating halacha. Now, if a ger dies without any heirs, so then nobody owns his property on his death because he doesn't have any heirs, right? Now, the problem is, how about if he owned an eved? So here's the deal. Imagine a case where a ger dies without heirs, and everybody around the neighborhood says, oh, we could take whatever we want because he doesn't have any heirs. So Bizbizu Yisrael Nechasav, and among his Nechasim were Avadim. Now, whether these Avadim are Gedolim or whether they're Ketanim, nobody can take them. Why? Because they were Kone themselves. Kone Atzvam B'nei Chorin. The minute that the ownership of the Baal is batel and nobody steps into his shoes because he doesn't have any heirs, so then they are automatically no longer avadim. So by definition, they get there first before anybody else gets there. So if 2 minutes later the neighbor walks in and tries to take them as avadim, they say, sorry, sir, but we are no longer available. Whereas Abba Shaul says, well, the Gedolim, yes, because the Gedolim are able to be Kena, but the Ketanim, since they cannot be Kena themselves, and therefore they still are considered to be Avadim. So the question over here, okay, we're going to get into, obviously Ketanim don't have the Kech to be Kena themselves. We'll see shortly what the Svara is. Now, my problem right now, says Reb Abba, my problem is, if you say that they need a Get Shechrur, who the heck wrote the Get Shechrur, gentlemen? Over here, they are Hefker. You're saying they're Hefker. And you're saying that, no, they're B'nai Chorin. That's what you said. Who wrote them a Get Shechrur? There's no one around to write them a Get Shechrur. They can't write themselves a Get Shechrur, can they? The Ger that owned them died. He can't write them a Get Shechrur. He doesn't have any heirs. They can't write him a Get Shechrur. So where the heck did the Get Shechrur come? I think this is a brilliant question. So what it shows is you don't need a Get Shechrur. Ha ha! Am I brilliant or am I not? So Ula said, oh my God, this guy better go back to school. Tommy, hi, Mir Rabbanan. Get a look at Mir Yinshi Shmai. This guy looks like someone who never even bothered learning in yeshiva. How do you ask such a stupid question? What's so stupid about it? The time am I? I mean, why is it that you don't need to get shichur? Omer Rav Nachman, because what Ula is saying is that an eved who belongs to a ger is exactly the same as a wife who belongs to the ger. Okay? What happens to the wife who belongs to the ger? Are you going to ask who wrote her a get shichur, which is called a get? If her husband dies, why would she need a get shichur? Well, the same thing is true of an eved. The whole din of a get shichur is learned out from la me'isha, right? Chufsha lo nitama. And this is amazing, isn't it? It's a totally different way of looking at things. And that's learned out from vinatan la sefer kritut. Okay, do you need to be notena sefer kritut if you drop dead? No. So why in the world would this ger need to be notena sefer kritut to his eved if he dropped dead? There's no longer any avdut, that's all. So therefore, ma ishto mishtalcha belo get, just as the wife doesn't need a get after he dies, af avadav mishtalchim belo get. So it's true that if the owner, the original owner, is alive, so then, okay, then the iser relationship, as opposed to the monetary relationship, the iser relationship remains binding until it's canceled with a get shichrur. But if he dies, that's like saying that you need to give a get to a woman even if the husband died, because the iser relationship is still binding without a get. That's absurd. What are you talking about? So that's why Ula was saying, boy, this guy is pretty dumb, let me tell you. Now, you're still comparing a case where the owner died, where obviously there's no longer need of a get. This is like, wow, it's a completely new perspective, right? And so you say, somebody didn't have this perspective is really stupid. Okay, whoa. So same thing with Yitro over here. But wait a second. If you're serious about this, so then, I mean, it has nothing to do with the ger. It would be true about anybody, right? So in other words, let's say he's a Yisrael and he does have Yorshim. So why, when he dies, don't the Avadim go free automatically? I understand. They should be able to go free because the owner died, no? So why are they inherited? The halacha is that the avodim are inherited. I mean, if you're literally comparing it to a woman, a relationship to a woman, I mean, the woman doesn't go on, except in the case of Yibum, wouldn't go on to somebody else. So why does the eved go to the heirs? Don't understand what you're saying. Nah, come on. That's a mefarish pasuk. In order to make it clear that that's not the case, the Torah said, "V'hitnachaltem otam livnechem acharichem l'reshet achuza." So since the inyan of the ownership of the Eved is specifically not the same in this one issue, and that is that an Eved is shayach to Yerusha, Masha'enkein, a woman is clearly not shayach to Yerusha, other than in the strange, unique circumstances of Yibum, where it is really an element that relates to Yerusha, of course. Okay, wait a minute. But I still have a great question for you, okay? Suppose a guy was mafkir his eved, and then he died. Ha! So now, the children do not inherit the eved because he no longer owned the eved, right? And then, when he died, we should not need a get shichrur, because he was never inherited by the heirs of the original owner who was mafkir him. So then why did Amemar say that if someone was mafkir an eved and then he died, that eved is up the creek without a paddle, and he can never marry anybody? He can't marry a Jew because there's nobody around to write him a get shichrur. And he can't marry a Canaanite either, because he's no longer a Eved Ish. So, this doesn't make sense. According to what you just said, if there is, in fact, death as a way out of the Isser relationship, so why Oto Eved Eino Takana? It's like a woman whose husband died. so yesh lakatakana. Heck, this is divorce Italian style anyway, right? So over here, this is essentially a shichur eved Italian style.
No, nope.
That's what I said. They killed him. Exactly. You know, you got to watch out for these Italian girls. You know, you don't give them a get. There's always alternatives. Okay. So then a memar is a problem. You're right. A memar is a problem. A memar kasher. There's no way for a memar to make sense the way that we've been learning over here. We learned some very exciting new ideas about an eved. We discovered that there are two different dinim. There's a din of ownership, which is financial, and then there's a din of iser. And we found that even in a case where the iser would normally, we would take off the iser with a get shichur, but that even in the event that the owner died, since we learn out lo lo miisha, so there is a svara to say, and this is actually what we learned yesterday in Ula, that if a ger who owns an eved would die, and he doesn't have any heirs, it doesn't matter. There doesn't need to be a get shechur, because death by a woman would not require a get, and death by an eved would not require a get, because we learn out all the din from lo lo biyisha, hufsha lo nitan la, and v'natan biyada, v'katav la, I mean, v'natan biyada. So that means that the death of the Adin would also remove the dinim of the Iser. So what we did find yesterday was a machloket about what would be the din of young children of a ger. Would they be kena themselves? They were the children, I mean, of the young Avonim, I'm sorry, of a ger. Would they be kena themselves with the death of the ger? Or would a Yisrael be able to take them for himself as an eved? So this was a machlokes. Now, Abba Shoal, he was the one who said yesterday that in the case of there being children, then the children are not going to, excuse me, if the avodim are young children, then young children will not be kaina themselves. Only older avodim will be kaina themselves. And Rabbi Yaakov Baridi today at the bottom of Lamed Tesomet Aleph says Halacha Abba Shoal. Rabbi Yaakov Baridi, Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. The halacha is indeed like Abba Shoal. And if the ger dies leaving no heirs, then only the avadim who are fully grown, they become actual Yisrael roi without a get shichur to be able to marry a Yisraeli. Mashen kein the ketanim, whoever takes them is going to be kind of them. Omerli Rabbi Zeri or Rabbi Yaakov Aridi. So Rabbi Zeri asked Rabbi Yaakov Aridi, when you're quoting Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, that halacha is like Abba Shoal, did you hear that directly from him? Or did you figure that out because of something else that he said? And that's Michlola Shem Yalacha. Well, said Rabbi Yaakov Aridi, what exactly do you, I mean, you obviously are thinking about something. What do you think I heard? I'm curious. What do you think I heard that made me claim that Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi paskin like Abba Shoal? Well, said Rabbi Zera, I'll tell you. I think that maybe you heard that Omer Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi, that the Talmidim said to Rabbi, Omer nityaashti miploni avdi mahu. What would be the din if a guy says, I give up, I'm never going to find my Evet, so he's been Yayish from, so basically he was mafka the Evet, would he be able to get married to a Bas Chayrin? Omar Lam, so Rebbe told them, I say, O Rani, in lo takana, ela bishtar. There's nothing he can do. This is a machlokas Rashi and Tosfos. Rashi learns nothing he can do to get married at all. He can't marry a Shivcha because he doesn't have anyone over him, so he's not really considered to be an Eved Ish. On the other hand, since there was chal on him the Isser of Eved, and it requires a get shichur in order to take off the Yisrael Eved, he also cannot marry a Yisraeli. So Tainas Rashi. Tosfos says, if that were the case, then we would run into the situation where Bezdin would force the owner to be Meshachar him, remember? Because that would be the same case as wherever someone cannot get married at all. He's not Mutun Ben Chobabat Zchorin, and not with a Shivcha. So we force a shichur. So therefore, Tosfos disagrees. Okay, but that's a side point. The bottom line is that Rebbe said he definitely still needs a get shichur if he's going to marry a Yisraeli. So ain't no takana ela bishtar. Now, Rebbe Yochanan, this is all why I think you might have figured out from this statement what Rebbe Shimon Levi said. Because Rebbe Yochanan explained what was Rebbe, meaning the Rebbe that we just quoted from Rebbe Shimon Levi, why does it need still a get shichur, and why isn't it enough to be after him? His svara is that it says, lo mi'isha, meaning that the dinim of a get shichur are precisely the same and apply in the same circumstances that a woman would require a get, right? So just like a woman requires a get in order for her to get married, as long as her husband is alive, an eved requires a get in order to get married, as long as the odin is alive. And that's what we said yesterday, that this is the reason that if the odin is not alive, so then fine, enochinami. We would learn out from Lala Mi'isha that he does not require a get shichur. Okay, this is what I think, says Rabbi Zeira, that you mistook this for being a psak of Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, who was quoting Rabbi over here, like Abba Shaul. But namely, that there's a difference between Ketanim and Gedalim, Avodim, Ketanim and Gedalim, where the ger was made and he left Ketanim, Aviv and Abba Shaul, the Ketanim could still be taken by anybody who comes along and takes them. Now, you were going along. I think what happened over here is that you heard this, and you assumed that from here you could be medayik as follows. Because the yakdamina, you said to yourself, ah, so he's comparing it to an isha, right? Now, just like the law of the isha, there's no momenus involved. The husband doesn't own a wife. There's just an isser as long as she is his wife. So the meaning of a get is only that it takes off Isra. It does not take off Mamon, okay? So then you understood that that means that the Eved that we're talking about over here, where Rebbe says you need to get Shechrut, it's talking about that he's involved in taking off an Isra, but not where there is still an issue of taking off the Mamonus that the Odin has over here, in which case you must have understood that Rebbe was talking about only an Eved Gadol, because the Eved Gadol indeed has no problem of Mamonis, because he is able to be Kena et Atzma. Masha Einkein, the Katan, who doesn't have a Yah to be Kena, and still requires the nature of freedom in terms of Mamonis, so then that's not what Rebbe was talking about, because he was comparing it to the Isha. In which case, when Rebbe said the psak that an eved that you gave up on or you were mityayish cannot get married, whether like Rashi at all or like Tosfos cannot get married to the baschorin unless he gets a get shichur, he was referring only to a gadol because he was comparing it to isha. But if the katan didn't have an owner, then he can still marry a shifcha apparently. But that's true only according to Abba Shaul. Abba Shaul holds that even though the Odin died, which means that he's basically Hefker, he's still considered to be an Evan. And since Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi was the one who says this Maisa over with Rebbe, apparently he paskins like that. I think that's what you, Rabbi Yaakov Baridi, were saying. Oh yeah? Says Rabbi Yaakov Baridi, and what if I did? Ah, what would be wrong with it? That sounds pretty good to me, huh? So the Imich Lolomai, like, what's your problem exactly? Ah, I'll tell you. I don't think this is a very good deal at all. I don't know. I would have said, look, I mean, it's a very gross comparison that you're making between the Get Isha and the situation of the Get Isha. Not the dinim, but the situation. So you're claiming, look, the situation of a Get Isha is where there was no Mamonis, so that must be the situation of the Eved Katan was where there was no Mamonis, right? Well, maybe not. Maybe Adarabba, maybe the way to compare the situations are like this. Because, I mean, it is very gross. So maybe we could say like this, we could figure out the exact opposite. If that's what you're basing it on, we could say, well, if we're comparing it to the situation of Anisha, a woman who gets a get, does it matter whether she's a gedela or a ketana? No. A woman, remember, let's say her father was Mekadosh or Leisha for somebody. and he sends her a get. Since the get is given Baal Korcha, so then it makes no difference. As long as you can give her the get, meaning that she knows how to be Shomeret that Gita. Okay, so therefore the Pasuk that says, V'katav La, is talking about a Ketana. So then when it says La by the Shifcha, it's also talking about a Ketana, meaning that an Eved could be either Ben Gadol or Ben Katan, the same way the get is. So I don't know what gross comparison you should be making. So according to that, he was saying the opposite of Abishol. That it's still, maybe the idea was over here, that even though he is actually Hefker, there's nothing to do but to give him a get. Maybe. That's what I think, says Rabbi Yaakov Aridi. Okay, I just wanted to hear what you were thinking. The truth is, I heard it directly from him. I just wanted to give you a chance to tell me what your big problem is, okay? But there are no big problems. Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi told me straight out, the halacha is like Abishol. I'm not figuring it out from anywhere else, so you needn't bother your brain about it. Rabbi Chia bar Abba Amar Rabbi Yochanan, we have basically the same idea as this discussion, again, because Rabbi Chia bar Abba quoted Rabbi Yochanan as saying that dafka ein halacha ka Abishol. And here the same thing happened. Rabbi Zera tells Rabbi Chia bar Abba, now, wait a minute, did you hear that from Rabbi Yochanan directly, that the halacha is actually not like Abishol, or did you figure it out? What do you think? Where do you think I figured it out from? You're so smart. Tell me. So what would be the klala, my klala? Oh, I think that you heard exactly what we just said, that Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi quoted the story that Omer lefnei Rebbe, nityashti miploni avdi mahu, and Rebbe told him, in my opinion, ein lo takana ela bishtar. And here's the part that's important where I think you figured it out from, and Rabbi Yochanan came along and he explained, why does Rebbe say this? Because of the gzera shava of chufsha lo nitan la, and in the katavla, sefer kritut, right? So it's la la mi isha. And he was basing it on the svar of just like an isha needs to have a shtar, the eved also can only go out with a shtar, unless, of course, the owner died. Now, here's what I think happened, says Rabbi Zira. You thought to yourself, because the yakta minan, that you were saying, oh, so listen, if Rebbe is comparing a dafka to an isha, so just like an isha, and this, of course, is the exact opposite of what we just said. It's literally a mirror picture of what we just said. Ma isha, you thought that just like an isha would be ben gadol ben ktana, so af evanami ben gadol ben katan, in which case it's not like Abishol. That's what you thought. Okay, says Rabbi Chia bar Abba, you think that's what I thought. Let's say that's what I thought. Oh, what's so bad if that's what I thought? Ah, because I would have said Adarabba. It's the exact same conversation, except in the opposite direction. I would have said Adarabba. Maybe the correct diak, since it's a very gross comparison, we're not talking about the dinim of the shtar, we're talking about the circumstances, right? So dokmin alagi, so look at it like this. Just like the woman, the get does not deal with anything that is monetary. It deals entirely with the question of the iser. Are you the husband in order to asur to marry anybody else or not, right? So just like that's the case of the Isha, I would say the Eved is exactly the same thing. The Eved is talking about Isser. He's not talking about Mamain. And according to that, we were only talking about Dafka Agano, not a Katan, because only the Gano is no problem of Mamain. Okay, so then Adarabba, then it would mean that it's like Abishol, not that he said Enoch Abishol. Omar Leis, Rabbi Chia bar Abba said, okay, I just wanted to hear what you were thinking, but I can tell you not to trouble your brain over it too much, because I heard from Rabbi Yochanan openly, Beferish Mi'ali, I disagree with Abba Shol. Fine. Omar Mar. Now, let's just hear what this said. You just said, Rabbi Shimon Levi, you just said that Rabbi told the Talmidim that had said this to him, I hold Elo Takana Labishta, right? The problem is that we had the Braita before, yesterday we learned, that Rebbe Omer, Omer Ani, Af Hu Noten Deme Atzmo V'yotze, Mipeshu Kamochrola. So we were talking about over there, somebody who was Magdish the Eved, and it said over there that the Gizborim, according to the Tanakh, according to the Chachomim, the Gizborim cannot be Meshachar him because they don't own the goof of the Eved, but they can sell that Eved to someone who will then go and be Meshachar him. I say, said Rebbe in that Braita, you don't need to sell him to somebody else. If a person gave this Eved money with the condition that your owner should not have any share in this money, so then the owner indeed doesn't have a share in the money, and the Eved is considered to be the legal owner of that money. So if Sir Richard would show us his face, it would be such a tremendous chizuk, what can I tell you? Even if there is a little bit of porridge out there, you know, it won't scare us out to the kach. There we go. Whose side are you on anyway? Barnea's not even here now. You're hassling me. Okay. So Rebbe said, why do you have to sell it to a third party? Let the Eved himself use that money and buy himself back from the Hegdash. Right? Okay. Why? Because that would be a Mechira. Now, what good would that do him? I mean, apparently, what Rebbe is saying is it would do him every good in the world. He could go and marry a Baskarin. That's what you're saying. All he has to do is buy himself out from Hegdash. I thought you said, you should just say that there's nothing to do, no way he can get married. As long as the owner was alive, he's going to need a get shichur. That's what you said. So how does it help for him to buy himself back? Oh, that's different. There, Rebbe was saying that even though normally, what Rebbe was saying over here is this case, because normally you can buy yourself back either bekesef and be free, or you can get the shtar and be free through the shtar. The problem over here is that once the Adain said, nityaashti miavdi, what happens? There's no mamain. So since there's no mamain, there's nothing left but a shtar. That's what Rebbe was saying. He wasn't saying that what we thought, that the two different issues of mamon, which is for the monetary ownership, and shtar, for the isurim that now apply to someone who is an eved, require two different solutions. That's what we thought. So you're going to have to pay money to get rid of the monetary obligations, and then we can give a shtar in order to take off the isur. So therefore, it didn't make any sense. How come Rebbe says that in the case of Hegdash, the eved can buy himself back, despite the fact that there's no one there to give him a get shichrur, right? That was the contradiction. The solution is that we misunderstood Rebbe. What it was that Rebbe was saying is that if there exists both a monetary control of this Eved and the resultant Iser control, because so long as he's an Eved, he cannot marry a Batharim, then there would be two ways of dealing with it. Either the Eved buys himself out, in which case there's no longer a need for a get shichrur, because the monetary control over himself would be the full equivalent of that total control, or you could have given him a get shichrur, and we wouldn't have needed to worry about the money, because you're being meshachrur him. In this case, however, you gave up on him, which means that essentially you were mafkir him. If you were mafkir him, there is no monetary control. And therefore, that's what we were saying. Once you're mafkim, pokale kaspe, there's no way for him to buy himself back, is there? And therefore, the only thing that you can do is to actually give him a get shichur. That's what Rebbe was saying. So it's perfectly consistent. And the point of it would be bedavka, to express the idea that indeed kesef would be sufficient in the event that there was monetary control. Now that is a major chiddush. Can an eved be yotze with kesef alone? And actually it says, what Rebbe says over here that he could, is the opposite of Rebbe Akiva. Lafukim yaitana. The Tanya Rebbe Shimon Omer Mishum Rebbe Akiva. Yocho yehe kesef gomerba. This is a brilliant drush. You might think that it would be possible to buy the Eved out, and that is sufficient to turn him into a Ben Chor. Because, I mean, it's either Kesef is a Kenyan and Shtar is a Kenyan. So you would think that the Shtar Shichrur is a different form, that's all. And therefore you could achieve the same thing by buying him out. Because it would be Kederach Shtar Gomerba, and it would be mater her to marry a Ben Chorin, right? Wrong. Because in the Parsha of Shivcha Charufa, we have an amazing pasuk. And that is, the pasuk discusses two totally different issues openly. And that's where we get the idea that there actually are two completely different issues. Let's think about the pasuk and see how beautiful the diag in the pasuk is. It says, V'ish ki yishkav et isha shichlat zera, v'hi shivcha necherefet le'ish. Now here's the crucial words. V'hovdei lo nivdeta. She had not been redeemed, but she was redeemed. Hevdei lo nivdeta. What does that mean? She was partially redeemed. So as we said, she was chatzi shivcha, chatzi bar shchayrin. One of the partners was mater her, and then she went ahead and she was married to an Eved Ivri. So now, you think that would be enough. What would be the din? She's not an Ashes Ish, because she's only partially huffed up, right? And she's not, therefore, a Pnuya, because she is partially huffed up. So what's the din? A special din. There's no Chiev of Misa, because she's not an Ashes Ish, but you don't get scot-free, you're not allowed to sleep with her. If you sleep with her, then you have to bring a korban osham of a shivcha charufa. But that's not what the pasuk says. The pasuk continues on to say that hefda avda lo nivdata, o chufsha lo nitanla, or she was not given a get shichur, which is chufsha. She wasn't given her own emancipation document. There's no emancipation proclamation. So then, what's the din? Lo yumtu, there's no chiev of misa. Why is there no chiev of misa? Ki lo chupasha. That's why there's no chiev of misa. Meaning that the only thing that ultimately matters is the fact that there was no get shichur given. And therefore the pasuk is coming to tell me, I don't care about the fact that she was partially hafta and partially lo hafta. That's not the reason why it is essential to, there's two different things here. One is to say you can't get away scot-free, but the other one is to say there's no Misa. The reason there's no Misa is because there's no Chupasha. So therefore, even if she had been entirely bought back, there would be no Misa. Why? Kilo Chupasha. That's why. That means that the bottom line of all of our discussions, what the pasuk is saying is, the bottom line is one issue and one issue only. Did she get that emancipation proclamation of the Chupasha, or did she not? Oh, so that means that the Torah is telling me at the bottom of all of this, the bottom line is that there's only one thing that's important. And what that one thing is not Avdolo Nivdata, but Ura Kolapar Shakula, to those single words, Lo Chupasha, which teaches you the only thing that's going to be finally determinant in whether she is ru'uya to be married or not, does she have a shtar shichur or does she not? And therefore, says Rabbi Akiva, as Rabbi Shimon understands him, shtar gomerba ve'ein kesef gomerba. So then that means we have a machlokas here. Rabbi says, normally either shtar or kesef is sufficient, unless you took off the momentous by being mafkir. Masha Enkin, Rabbi Shimon says, no, it's not true. Rabbi Akiva was Madayek. You're always going to need to give a get shechrur, even if she was paid to herself entirely. Omer Rami Bar Choma, Omer Reb Nachman, we paskin like Rabbi Shimon, who explained Rabbi Akiva's shita, and the din is, you need that get shechrur, you can't buy yourself back with mamon. Rabbi Yosef Bar Chama, Omer Reb Yochanan says, ein alochak Rabbi Shimon. Reb Nachman Bar Yitzchak bumped into Rabba Bar Shilta, or Rabba Bar Shila, is probably is the Gersa. Davikoya Pitra de Beitvila. And he was standing right by the door to go into davening. And he said, can you just tell me? Halakha or in halakha? Do we pass him like Rabbi Shimon or not? And Rabba Bar Shila told him, Ani omer ein halacha. I always held that we do not paskin like Rebbe Shimon, and in fact, we paskin like Rebbe, that you can either buy yourself back, or you can get a get shikur. Either way. But the Rabbanan, the Atumim, Mechuza Amre, then these Rabbanan came here from Baba, and they said that Rabbi Zera quoted Reb Nachman, this was Tosis's Raya before, that Reb Nachman is Reb Nachman by Yaakov and not Reb Nachman by Yitzchak, because this is Reb Nachman who is saying this, right? Reb Nachman by Yitzchak, he was the one who was talking to Rava Bar Shila. He can't be telling him Omer Reb Nachman. So Omer Rabbi Zera mishmei the Reb Nachman that the halacha is like Rabbi Shimon. Now, that confused me because I was convinced that the halacha is not like Rabbi Shimon. So I finally got to Surah, and I met up with Reb Chiya Bar Avi, and I said to him, listen, something's very funny around here. Could you please tell me, like, really easy, like, what's the whole story? What happened that people are quoting this halacha, supposedly, that Reb Nachman said, that the halacha is actually like Rabbi Shimon, right? So tell me the whole story. I'll tell you exactly what happened. There was an ama of a guy whose master was deathly ill, right? So it says, Amta d'abimora shchiv mera, this guy's about to die. The poor ama had been working for him for so many years. She comes in crying, what, you're going to die and you're going to leave me as a shivcha? Please, ad ema t'shtabed v'tezel ha'i yitata, this poor woman, she's going to die as a shivcha. If you're dying, at least free me, no? Shaka kumte, shadaba. See, he took off his hat, being as he was deathly ill, he thought that she was a house elf. He didn't realize that she was a shivcha. So he takes off his hat, or his sock, and he throws it to her, thinking that that was good enough to make her free. And he said, here, take this, zil, be kena, this hat, and go out to freedom. So she comes to Reb Nachman, and she asks Reb Nachman, okay, so can I now get married? And Reb Nachman said, this is ridiculous. Lo asa v'lo klum. There was absolutely no meaning to throwing you his sack. You're not a house elf. Now, this is not exactly the way that Rashi understands the sugya. So what happened was, is that the guy thought that he was doing an act of chalipin. So remember, one of the forms of kesev is exchange. And for exchange, so he thought, okay, the exchange, remember, we learned that out of Megillas Rus, that this was the way that they did things. Shalaf ish na'alov v'natan l'reyehu, right? So he figured, okay, that's basically saying the same thing about Dabi. You take off your shoe and you hand it to the other guy, and that makes a kinyan. So he figured that this is chalipin, right? I mean, it's got to come from somewhere. What do you mean, take off a sock and throw it down? So it's basically based on the pasuk and root. Now, the problem was not that this wouldn't have worked. It would have worked. But the problem was that chalipin only works if the person who is exchanging something is the one who gives something in exchange. Over here, he was the owner, and he was trying to free her. So then she needed to give him something in exchange for the ownership on herself, not that he would give her something and she would take it. Now, that's really a machlokas above Metzia. But that's what Reb Nachman was saying, that you can only use the kalim of the kena, and had nothing to do with the fact that money's no good. It had to do with the fact that this was not money, because it wasn't kosher chalipin. He made the mistake of thinking that Reb Nachman was saying money is not good enough and we paskin like Rabbi Shimon and you have to write a shtar shichur, but that is not at all what was really happening. The real thing, Valohi, he made a big mistake. What Reb Nachman was saying is that this was not a kosher chalipin. Mishum dahavile kelev shel makneh, and a kelev shel makneh is not kosher to do chalipin, in which case Reb Nachman was perfectly in line with what I thought all along, and in fact, he was in no way paskening that the halakha is like Rabbi Shimon. I still insist that the halakha is not like Rabbi Shimon. Reb Shmuel bar Achitai, Reb Amnun Saba, Reb Yitzchak bar Ashian, Reb Huna, Reb Amnuna, In fact, the halacha is like Reb Shimon, but pay no attention. It's not true. Velohi, ain halacha ke Reb Shimon. In the end, we don't paskin like Reb Shimon. We paskin like Rebbe, and it's possible to go out from Avdus either with the kinyan of Kesev or with the kinyan of Shtar.